Oh, wow. Whew, who's glad to be here today? Wow. I'm just going to let the guys leave the room. And welcome to those who are joining us online. It is so good to have you with us. Oh, I don't know about you, but there is something so authentic. Money can't buy it. You can't strive and make it happen. You can't orchestrate it. It is something so beautiful that only God can do when he meets a life, when he brings a change that can only be attributed to the power of God and to his love and to his grace and to his mercy. And I just am blown away. It makes me fall in love with him all over again. That's why, you know, if you hear of faith, never, scripture says, I think it's in 1 Peter, where it says about be ready to give an answer for the hope that you carry. Because someone's asking a question. I think it was Zach's story, and he had questions, but nobody really wanted him to ask them, and nobody was prepared to answer them. Until what he saw as a punishment, there's a story in scripture about Joseph, and he gets thrown into prison. And isn't it funny that that's actually where God really starts to use him, and he starts to tell of who God is. And I just had this picture of here he is, and they think, oh, you know, we're going to show you, we're going to punish you, and he's cleaning toilets. And then all of a sudden, isn't it amazing that the person who's there cleaning with him knows hope and starts to actually answer the very questions he was asking. I can't believe it. You know, we're in the middle of this series called Family Acts. And what we're looking at is the book in the Bible called Acts. And it really is when Jesus has spent all this time with his disciples and he goes up to be with his heavenly Father. And it's how does the family act? What do they do? Because, you know, we're beneficiaries of the seeds that they sowed. And so we're learning from them. How did they come? How did they go? How did they rest? How did they serve? And as I read and I have been reading the book of Acts, one of the things that I've noticed, that a hallmark that was just kind of sown throughout that book, is that they have been strengthened and they are strengthening others. That as they go to God in prayer and as they spend time with him, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, strengthens them so that they can go. And then as they go, they share this faith. They share their hope that they carry. And others are strengthened. They don't just go to people who are of faith. They actually go to people who don't know who Jesus is and strengthen them. We've had story after story this morning with someone, thank God, who knows Jesus, was ready to give an account for the hope that they carried. I love it when you listen to TJ's story, that he had all this hate, but funny enough, he had a neighbor who knew God and who was telling him again and again and again about the power of Jesus, his love, his forgiveness. And today, he's no longer filled with hatred, but filled with hope and peace. You can't orchestrate that. He has been strengthened and continues to go from strength to strength. Every single story, you listen to all these incredible young men and older men that are this. Do you know what I love about the grace of God? He doesn't care about color. He doesn't care about culture. It goes beyond gender. It goes beyond age. He meets us all. He meets us all and brings hope and peace, and strengthens our inner being. My message today is taken from the book of Acts, and this is really the foundational truth that I want to speak about today. And if we can have that up, Daniel, I'd appreciate it. It's a very simple verse, and it says this in Acts, For in him, we live and move and have our very being. Daniel, just keep it up for a second, because what's powerful about this verse is we often think in Scripture it says the last shall be first. There's actually a principle that the last is actually greater than what comes before. So if you read that, it's actually our being that's the most important thing, our identity, knowing who we are, that then informs how we move, that then actually shapes our life. Sometimes we want to start with live, but then we keep doing the same thing. You know, if we listen to Tommy's story, bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. But when he got to the being bit, and they understood that he was loved, and understood who his father was, and understood who he was in Christ, he started to move different. He started to make some different decisions, which means he is now living different. He is a new creation. Come on. And this is where I want to speak from. Thank you, Daniel. You know, there's so much activity that happens in the book of Acts. And I watch how they understand who they are. And sometimes he meets people like a guy named Paul. He actually meets him when everyone's referring to him as Saul. And he actually changes his identity by changing who he understands Jesus to be. And so he shifts. He starts moving differently. What was once something that was used to actually kill Christians is now used to actually take the good news of Jesus even further. Jesus, when he changes identity, and I just read this book of Acts, and it's so beautiful in regards to how Jesus strengthens his children so that they can encourage and strengthen others. I pray that God would use me this morning to strengthen you. I only have a short time with you this morning, and if you don't know Jesus, I pray that I may strengthen you with the hope that I carry. I pray that if you do know Jesus, that I could add strength to your walk, that I could strengthen your faith. For do not grow weary in doing good. I pray that today you would walk out of here in Jesus' name, strengthened in your being, knowing who he is. And that might meet you all in very, very different places. But there are two things that one of the huge privileges of my life, and it is a blessing I never take for granted, is that I get to sit with many of you and hear glimpses of your life. I count it as the biggest privilege and blessing. And it also allows me a viewpoint to see some common threads. And so if you're okay, I want to speak about two things that I believe that if you were to lean in and hear a little, that I think you could be strengthened and walk in greater freedom. The first is, give me a shout if you were at Lyft. Okay, who was at Lyft? Give me a wave so I know who knew it went a little crazy. Okay, so at Lyft, if you weren't there, I played a trick on people there, and then it turned out the joke was on me. Okay, so Lyft is, by the way, a gathering that we have in the week that we come together and we pray and we worship. And I went and got a whole lot of towels because I know that there's a secret stash back there. And I made this enormous pile of towels. And then I went and got, the drinking water that you put on top of a fountain. I went and got that. And I couldn't find a bucket, so I got one of my dear student, DB. I was like, DB, who's one of our leadership college students, go find me a bucket. I want it to look like I'm going to wash everyone's feet. So she went and got the bucket, and I talked about how Jesus washed the disciples' feet and how there's this moment where Paul goes, you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus. But actually, it is so powerful when we allow the servant king to serve us that he says, in the story where Jesus literally is having dinner with his disciples just before he goes to the cross, and he gets up after dinner and he starts to wash their feet. And one of his friends says, "You're just not going to wash my feet." And he says, "If I can't do this for you, you can't have part in me. I'm showing you something. I'm modeling something. So I'm the teacher and the master. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to model something so that you can do it." So I did that. I told the guys that was locking the doors. No one was allowed to leave. We're all going to wash feet. I know everyone was like, "When did I change my socks?" Like, everyone's thinking about all kinds of things. She's not going to do it. Anyway, we moved on. And it took one guy to come to me at the end of the gathering, and he said, "Would you actually wash mine?" I was like, "Absolutely." And I started to wash his feet. And what happened was that I thought people were just watching a crazy woman washing someone's feet, but they were actually queuing, because everyone wanted to have a moment with God. And I'm telling you, something powerful happens when you put aside pride and you put aside that shame and guilt or arrogance and your own confidence and your own ability. But when we humble ourselves and allow Jesus to serve us, we are strengthened, emboldened, and encouraged to go further. And I remember the guy who went first sent me a text going, "I believe you were there quite late. Sorry about that." I'm like, "No apology necessary," because Jesus ministered. He saw to the need. He served his children. And I just want to say to you, if you're feeling weak and you're feeling that you're running just out of steam, there's a verse in Isaiah that I want to read. Because I honestly believe that if you feel like you have no strength, that the bucket is empty, that you just don't know what next to do, if we can have this scripture up. It says this in Isaiah, "But those who trust in the Lord for help," those who trust in the Lord for help, "will find their strength renewed. They will rise up on wings like eagles." Eagles don't have to flap about. They rise on those thermal currents. "They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak." This is the power of when we rest, when we rest in who Jesus is, when we allow him to serve us. Last week and over the next weeks, we're talking about how do you serve. But you know, sometimes we can think, "I don't know how to serve because right now I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. I'm so beyond myself." But our strength is renewed when we know where our help comes from, when we work from a place of rest, knowing that it's not something I have to conjure up, but it's who he is in me. He will renew my strength. So for those of you, all of you, whether you're new to faith, been walking with God for a long time, or you're here and you go, "I don't know who this Jesus is you're speaking about." But who feels like they don't need strength? Give me a wave if you think, "I don't actually need any strength. I'm super powerful, don't need any jot of that." Nobody's hands online. Give me a thumbs up if you're good and you don't need strength. You know why? You know, no one's putting their hands up. Because life is tough. It's demanding at times. It's not always like that, but every day has some challenges you're going to have to overcome. Renew your strength by trusting in Jesus and allowing him to serve you. We work from a place of rest. Okay, so you might be wondering what this is. Okay, now, last time I bought a prop of towels and I washed feet. This time, I bought a wetsuit. So guess what we're gonna do now? There's a pool, there's a wetsuit. Okay, I have towels. Anybody bought this swimming cozy? Anybody ready? You're all thinking, this could go one of two ways. She could actually be serious, right? No. Well, can I just tell you, I have put this on. It takes about an hour to get in, so nobody got time for that. I remember putting that on for the first time and I rung my husband. I'm like, I look like a big jelly baby. That's what you got right now. And so I went to the Lake District and I swam in one of the lakes. It was crazy. A big tourist bus stopped and everyone started taking pictures of the crazy woman in the boats. It was bizarre. Okay. I've always swum. Like as a child, I grew up in South Africa and we were always along the coast and different things. And when I was sort of in my late teens, early 20s, I was a swimming instructor. And so it's always been really close to my heart, swimming. And from time to time, I kind of drift away from it and go back to it. But it's really such a kind of passion of mine, really. And I remember that I decided I was really wanted to take swimming a lot more seriously, and I got back into the water. And I don't know what happened between when I was a teenager to when I was an adult, but something happened along the way that I couldn't swim as far as I thought I could in my head. So I remember doing like a length or two, and then I'd be like on the side, breathing, and it was just like really hard. I would go week in, week out, several times a week, trying to swim laps. And I would, honestly, it was not pretty. I mean, I've actually got a very good stroke. So I can, my sort of swimming style, if you like, I've actually got a strong stroke. But for some reason, I just couldn't breathe, right? It seems like a common thing for me. I can't really run. My daughter wanted to teach me how to run, and we were running, and then she said, you haven't breathed for the last 2 minutes. Because then when we stop at the lamppost that she told me I had to run to, you know what's funny? When you hold your breath, you can't think of anything else. But when am I going to breathe again? That's literally an all-consuming thought of when you hold your breath. Some of you are like that when it comes to a Monday. Right, it's the beginning of the week. Friday, oh dear Jesus, and now someone's asked me to surf. Are they kidding? I can't even breathe. Some of us are like that. I don't know what your shifts are or what, you know, your kind of working patterns are, but when you go into your dynamic of work, whatever that is for you, that might be looking after a family, that might be going to school, but you take this huge breath in and then you just try and get to the other side of whatever the other side is for you. And then there's this very, you know, kind of unattractive gasping of breath. Nobody speak to me. No one come near me. I am struggling to breathe, people. But I took some swimming lessons. I felt a bit weird about that, being a swimming instructor. I said, would you watch me swim? I can't get the breathing thing. And so they watched me swim. And they went, are you kidding? You only breathe every 8 strokes, okay? So that means in the course of the length, I only took 2 or 3 breaths. In the course of the whole length, I was busy drowning. There was like, I thought I was like falling with style. Like, no, I am drowning, guys. It's like, maybe you should breathe like a little bit more frequently. Now, weird thing about me, I didn't know this again until somebody observed what they told me what they observed in my life. They said, you only ever breathe on your right-hand side. So then I had options of how often I breathed. It was in, you know, multiples of 2. So I either breathed every 8, every 6, every 4, or every 2. Now every 2 just seemed too frequent, and it kind of messed up my rhythms. I was so like, I don't know, anxious. Sometimes we can be like that with God. We're so busy trying to reference who he is. What do you think? Would you like a coffee or would you like, I don't know, a cold drink? Jesus, coffee or cold drink? You can't make simple decisions because you're so preoccupied with what's the right thing instead of trusting that he's a better leader than you're a follower and that he's going to start to work through you. Others of you are like me, that you do, I've got it, you know, 10 strokes later. And he's like, I could have helped you along the way. I could have given you some extra tips. I could have allowed you to rest while you work, active rest. So this guy said to me, why don't you start to breathe on your left-hand side? Who knew the magic number 3? Let me tell you, once I cracked being able to breathe on both sides, I went from doing 10 laps to doing 50. Within 3 weeks, I was doing over 200 lengths. And I'm telling you, I could have kept going because now I could breathe. Some of you are holding your breath. And you don't even need to know Jesus to hold your breath. You're waiting for a season to pass. You're just waiting for a relationship to get better. It's just going to happen. I want to ask you to breathe. You know, there's a verse, if we can have it up, and in Matthew, and this is what it says. It says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover. Some of you need to recover. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Some of you think you're resting because you've taken a day off. That does not equal rest. Knowing who He is and who you are in Him, allowing Him to work and serve you, to empower you, that's rest. I don't know about you, but if I've binge-watched a whole series, I don't necessarily come and go, oh, I can tackle the world. That's not rest. It says, I'm going to help you take real rest. You can even rest while you're walking with me. There's an activity there. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly in Jesus' name. This for me is a scripture that I keep going back to. When I feel like I'm not living freely and life doesn't feel that light, I start to ask, how am I resting? How am I breathing? What is the rhythm of my life? Some of you are just taking rhythms where you breathe every 10 breaths. So you're waiting till the nighttime before you'll catch. You're waiting before the kids to go to bed. When they're in bed, I'll rest. When that happens, I'll rest. One of the biggest things God is teaching me and has taught me is the ability to pause. And that doesn't mean I literally stop in my tracks, but I just pause in my thoughts and I just invite Him in. What do you say? What do you think? Minister to me. Lord, thank goodness this is in your hands. I'm speaking to myself. I'm going to invite the band up. We're going to pray. Gospel, if you can take this wetsuit before I get the urge to. That's not going to happen in no one's life. You don't have to worry about that. Stand with me. We're going to pray. You know, those people who are baptized today, they had someone in their life that gave them an observation. They gave them an observation of who Jesus is. I see you're struggling. You're struggling with hate. Well, let me introduce you to my God. He led the way in forgiveness. You know, he is peace. He is hope. And they were allowed to give an observation. I see you're struggling with this. Can I introduce you? I see you want to ask a question. Can I direct you to where you could possibly find that answer, where you could take that question? I just want to encourage you right now to trust in Jesus. For some of you, I'm going to ask you to do that for the first time. It literally, just take a step. You know, it couldn't hurt, could it? To maybe get a heavenly perspective on what you're going through. You know, I had someone standing on the outside of the pool looking on what was going in and said, you've got your rhythm all mixed up. You're not breathing right. And they started to teach me. And because they started to teach me, I was able to learn and apply and adopt. And it changed my walk, changed how it felt. It broke a ceiling off me. And I'm going to ask you, if you hear and you're like, you know what, if He did it for all these people, for a little boy that sat on his bed and said, I don't want to go to school today. But you know what? He still has to go to school. I don't think God went and removed every single kid that was a problem to him from his high school. I believe they're still in his high school. But what He did is He empowered him. He changed him. And so he could go into a situation empowered and strengthened. If you're here today, would you like to meet Jesus? Would you like to invite him into your heart so that you could be strengthened and empowered to go from strength to strength, to be changed, to become more like God, to become more like Jesus, to have hope and peace even if things are chaotic, to have a joy? And if that's you, you know, a lot of us have said this prayer before, but what I'd love you to do is I just simply want you to raise your hand. We're about to sing. But if you raise your hand right now, why is raising your hand important? Let me tell you, you can't breathe very well when you're swimming and you don't raise your arm. There's something about elevating and positioning yourself to say, I'm going to take my breath of Jesus today. I'm going to invite him into my lungs, into my very being, so I can move differently, so I can live differently. If that's you, raise your hand in a stroke, in an arm movement toward God, and say, fill my lungs. Jesus, meet me where I am. Raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Take a moment. I see your hands. God sees you in Jesus' name. If you're online, just put a hand emoji there. We're going to pray with you. There is no one too lost. There is no one too broken. There's no one too angry. There is no one too far that the breath of God can't meet you right now. He sees your hand in Jesus' name. He knows who you are. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Forgive me all that is old and renew my thinking. Renew my walk and let every day draw me closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, guys. For those who made that decision for the first time, we're so grateful. So amazing to be a part of this family. Honestly, we're going to sing now. And apparently singing has a lot to do with breath as well. Is that true? It's to do with everything. So as we worship, as we sing together, breathe in. And I want you to be mindful of your breath as you go on during this week. And if I can say one thing to strengthen your walk, improve your rhythm of breathing. Improve your rhythm of going back to the Father and trusting him to be your help. Amen. Thanks, guys.